two churches. Very biblical, very serious, and something we all need to be made aware of because, you know, first let's take the word most commonly used, let's say in the book of Revelation about churches. It'd be better translated assemblies. It's where people assemble together and they make up the body of Christ, all right, which is the old German word Kirch, okay, our church. And I tell you, let's just get right into it. We ask a word of wisdom from our Father. And I see Dennis left his notes up here. Well, that looks like a good sermon. It sure does. Oh, all right. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of Matthew. We're going to hit about chapter 16. What did Christ do when he formed the church? You know, you need to pay attention to him because he is the head. And what he advises is ever so important. That is, if you want to be successful. And I think, you know, as long as you try, you should be. And I can guarantee you, if you do it God's way, you always will be. It's just the way, that's the way it is. That's his promise. And when you meet his conditions, you can rest assured. So, with the opening your Bibles to chapter 16, the great book of Matthew, let's pick it up, if we may, verse 6, all right, where Christ will soon be talking about forming his church. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And of course, leaven spiritually means sin. Beware of sin that comes in from that quarter or any quarter. Verse 7, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Isn't it strange how people wonder about their stomach so much, isn't it? I guess when you're a wayfaring person in those days back out on the trails, a piece of bread could be pretty important. But can you imagine walking with the Master and not following his thought? And it's easy for us to say that now. That's Monday back, quarterbacking, or whatever you call it, you know, but it makes one wonder. Verse 8, which when Jesus perceived, he can read your mind, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. Now, the little girl from Tyre in the prior chapter had said even, you know, concerning bread, in verse 27 of the prior chapter said, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is thy faith. She was listening to him. They're not. These disciples are not listening, not thinking. Do you know what the real truth is? They weren't focused. And that's what I was talking about this morning. You've got to be focused on God's Word. Think what it is. He has a message to you. It doesn't matter what man thinks, this man or any other man. Stay focused on the head of the church, which is to say Christ. Then Jesus told them right to their face, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? There were 12 baskets of crumbs left over in the miracle of that feeding. But stop and think for a moment. What do you get when you pick up a bunch of crumbs? You know? Do you listen to crumbs? Or do you listen to the Lord? Naturally, it meant when you're dealing with Christ, you don't have to worry about bread. There's more than enough to go around. But there's something else he wants you to beware of. He just warned, beware of the doctrine. And anytime you gather a group like that together, you're going to have some oddballs there, squirrels, sent directly by Satan to disrupt. That's what he's talking about. when he forms his church, he does not expect church leaders to tolerate that. And you shouldn't. Verse 10, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. Well, how many was there? There was 7. Meaning, again, you could even call this God's elect if you wanted to. There would be plenty to go around. Verse 11, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? That's what I was talking about. The sin and false teachings that they would bring in. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was doctrine that he was concerned with. Let's follow the thought along. Let's go to Revelations 1:20. As you know, many people today, not you, but many people today teach that the book of Revelations is just not meant to be understood. You'd be surprised how many people write me letters saying, I asked my pastor, and he said, please don't read that book. Don't ask me to explain it, because I don't understand it. It's full of symbolism. Okay. A lot of symbology. Hello? That's the easiest way in the world to teach, is to use symbolism or a form of an analogy. That's the way we teach children, in object lessons. But let's follow through on churches. First great story of in Revelation, and Revelation, of course, a word, whatever language you want to take it in, it means the uncovering. And Christ appeared, and he had in his hand 7 stars and 7 candlesticks. Well, that's symbology. Wonder why he would throw us a curve like that. What does that mean? That's just my left tonsil again, don't worry. Verse 20, the mystery, he's going to explain it, the mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the 7 golden candlesticks. This is the mystery. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. They represent those assemblies. They're the messenger to those assemblies. And the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. Isn't that difficult? It's amazing, isn't it? Those candlesticks are churches. Wow! What a revelation! You know, I mean, kindergarten children can pick up on that. There's nothing difficult about it. A child can understand. Now, do me a favor and skip on down into chapter 2, the church of Ephesus, verse 5. I want to tell you what can happen to the candlestick, though. Verse 5, chapter 2, Revelation. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. In other words, this candlestick had already hit the dirt. Fallen. And repent. And do the first works or else. When Christ gives you an or else, you'd better listen. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, not moping along, quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now let me ask you a question. Will Christ remove a church? You better believe it. I mean, that's what it said. There's no way around it. He said, you get your act together, you've drifted off over in a bunch of traditions of men to this church of Ephesus. And if you don't get it together and repent and go back to the scripture, your first love, that's what establishes a Christian church. I'm not going to mess around. I'm coming quickly and it's gone, friend. You're not blessed. So, let it be settled in your mind. God, there may be 7 churches. at the time of that writing. But Christ will absolutely snuff one of them out so quick they won't even know what happened to them. They won't even realize they've been snuffed. Why? Well, didn't he kind of tell us back in the beginning, in the 16th chapter, or 7th, which you mess around with that old leaven. You go along with those old traditions. Don't expect me to come visit you, honey. I'm not going to be there. You can assemble all you want to. I'm going to rip off your lampshade and your candle, and you're out of business. Right? They won't know it, because they wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers, wonder why God doesn't bless us. Hey, anytime you are that wise to know something's wrong, then you're wise enough to do something about it. Well, how do I do that? With God's Word. Ask a little child. Ask them to explain it to you. They can figure it out, all right, of how a church should react. Now, as you all well know, and this is old history to you, there were only two churches out of the seven that Christ found no fault with. And we're going to go back over it, because I want it fresh in your mind. I want it real fresh in your mind. I want it fresh enough in your mind that we're going to use it right now. Okay? Skip to verse 8. And what did these two that he found no fault with have in common? I mean, man, that's the church you want to be in, okay? You want to know what it is those two have in common, because he found not one iota against them. Let's see what they were teaching. Verse 8, and unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. He resurrected from that tomb. 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, boy, I guess. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. In other words, they claim to be of our brother Judah, but they're Kenites of Satan's synagogue. Are you going to let one of them do your translating for you, friend? How far do you think you would get with your little lampshade? I think you better order wicks right away. Do candles have wicks? Yeah, they do, don't they, come to think about it. Kind of built in. Verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. That's on an individual basis only. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. In other words, who is death? It's the devil. That's what one of his names, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. You be faithful, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you, the Petra, the real rock, the comforter, a rock that you can stand on and never be shaken. You're solid, and you will always be blessed, and he'll take care of you. That's his promise. I'll give you a crown. I wonder if he knows my size. Well, I don't even know myself. It's just kind of large, though. And that doesn't mean I've got the big head, either. It's just I'm kind of big all over, I guess. Anyway, that church Jesus loved, it's obvious they were doing something about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I mean, that's a child can understand that. So you had better be in a church that teaches who the Kenite is. Is Kenite a Hebrew word meaning sons of Cain? You better know who they are. They're still around today. Now, skip on over, if you would, to chapter 3. You know where I'm going. To the brotherhood of brotherly love, that is, Philadelphia, the Church of Philadelphia. Verse 7 of chapter 3. The only other church. Now, let's see if we can figure out. This is heavy now. Let's see if we can figure out what these two have in common, and if we can't, we'll call one of those children from the choir back. and let them explain it to us, all right? Because I guarantee you that a child can figure it out. So surely we can. Verse 7. And to the angel, this is one of those seven angels, would you believe that? And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. It's wonderful to have a truth that you can build on. It's wonderful to have a truth that opens the doors to the unknown at the moment you need it in your life. That many people wonder about, you can stand on a solid rock with stability. Knowledge and wisdom, they are stability if they are the wisdom and knowledge from God's Word. Verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. A little strength with being given by the help of God is a bunch, friend. You know, what it usually means, he'll furnish the brick and you do the building, all right? He's not going to do it all for you. But how much faith do you have? He'll go all the way. He's not a piker. And has kept my word. That's what's important, beloved. This church kept his word. That's important. That's why you would find nothing wrong with it. And has not denied my name. They weren't sidetracked by some silly willy that would bring along traditions that can actually cause you to worship the evil one if you're not careful. Hey, he's good, friends, and he's going to be kicked from heaven. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, our brother Judah, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet to know that I have loved thee. You all know that that happens on the first day of the millennium. The seventh trump. Why? There's not going to be any other power on earth except the King of Kings at that time. 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience. And there it is again. They kept what? They kept the word of Amos and Andy? They kept the word of Jesus Christ. They kept the living word. They didn't play around. Yeah, but let's see if we can't find something that's got a lot of sensationalism in it and go to hell. You like sensationalism that much? Isn't God's Word sensational enough for you? With the excitement that goes on in this world today that you want to get you a quick trip to hell by playing with traditions of men? Old crumpled up, mixed up dough found out here in the gutter? Yes, gather up some baskets. I heard that one saying, this other one said, would you believe? Well, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, if you'd like to go to hell, if it isn't of God, and I'm talking about, there's nothing wrong with friends visiting about the corn crop. You know, God makes the corn, but I'm talking about passing it off as spiritual content. For edification. That's a big sin. To pass nonsense off for edification in the Word of God. Okay, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. They burned a crown also. Both churches. So, you know something? If you're involved in a church that doesn't teach what these two taught, you're in a heap of hurt. And by the time we finish this lecture tonight, you're going to find out how much of a heap of hurt they're in. Because he makes it very plain, and we're going to go into it. So, that's not difficult. God, Christ can expect you to reckon that, can he not? Christ can expect you to have the knowledge to cipher that. That means to understand. Do it my way. I think he, inasmuch as he died on the cross for his children, he has the right to say, do it my way. I want to establish an assembly But I want it to be done my way. I don't blame him. One more verse, 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Friend, that's traveling pretty tall cotton. Okay? And for those of you that don't understand that colloquialism, that means you got it made. That's interesting. You know what a pillar is? That holds up the temple. Alright? That's nice. And he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is in New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. I wonder if we'll be there. Well, if you follow his way, you will be. Now, I want us to think, then, what did we determine here? Well, a candlestick here, he said, it's simply an assembly. It's a church. And those stars were symbolic of angels, messengers. And then we learned in the fifth verse of the second chapter, he's not opposed to snuffing out lights. When it comes to candlesticks, he's pretty ticky about that sort of thing. He really is. That's why he says judgment starts, guess where? At a pulpit. Right here. That means the people that speak. So if you speak, I'd kind of do my homework, all right? But you're the listener. It kind of finally works itself around. But God has a way of removing churches. And I don't care what name you have over the door. If Christ is tired of you, quite frankly, you're in a heap of hurt. Because his blessings will be shut off. And a lot of bad things are going to happen. Let's turn a little further over into the mystery of the great book. 11th chapter. 11th chapter. What does this mean to you today? We know we're in the end times. You're hanging on by your teeth for truth and searching for it. It's real simple. You don't have to hang on by your teeth, you know. Some of us older folks would sure be in a heap of hurt if that was the case. Okay. Let your mind do the walking, okay? Well, verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1, and it reads, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod. Now pay attention, because there's a reason I brought you here, else I would not have come to this chapter, okay? So be sharp for me. I've laid groundwork. It's important. This rod, this isn't exactly a kissing stick. A rod is for correction. You got that, don't you? Measure out with a rod, a scepter that kind of is good for a little discipline. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. Oh, I probably forgot to tell you what a lot of people in traditions teach. After the fourth chapter, the churches aren't mentioned in Revelation, so you can just forget it. You know, they're gone. They're gone somewhere. And you know something? Five of them are. I guarantee you. By the time we get here, five are no more. But what about, do you think God's going to cast away those two? I don't think so. Measure out real good. Verse 2. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles or the nations. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, that's why we went through this morning about Jerusalem and the day of vengeance, so that you can handle that. You know what it means. And you know, of course, that 42 months, what is the moon? It's lunar. What is every prophecy that's given of the night? It's about Satan. Okay? Quite simply about Satan. It's about a 3.5-year period. We all know that has been shortened for our sake. Praise God. Okay? Verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. Whoa, that's good. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. How much is a thousand? What is days? That's daylight. That's solar. That's why we celebrate Passover by the solar calendar rather than what some people do, the lunar, the moons. Barking and baying at the moon. Okay? God is a God of light. And He blesses those that keep His days as best they can to His way of reckoning. So, those two witnesses are fantastic. They're going to come. They're going to appear. You know how I know? Well, Jesus said it. That seals it right there. That seals it. They're going to do some very wonderful things. We'll be talking more about that tomorrow afternoon. Don't miss it. 3.5 years. Whoa. 4. These are the 2 olive trees, and this is a real genuine and in the Greek, kaya. It means besides those 2, and the 2 candlesticks. Whoa, wonder what that is. Standing before the God of the earth, not heaven, earth, somewhere on earth. Looks to me like this is bad news for 5 candlesticks. Because there's only 2 left. You want to guess which 2? I'll be willing to bet that every one of you would get it right. Okay? Well, why would Pastor Murray bring this up? Because if the churches are there, you better know what you're supposed to do. If you're going to be participating at the time of the 2 witnesses, it's best to know at least what the signs are and what it is that's going to be going down about that time. But Pastor Murray, I don't understand. My preacher at home said the church isn't mentioned after chapter 4. Well, how? If you've got a little child, 6 years old, or 4, one that can at least understand reading. Go back and read chapter 1, verse 20. Jesus said, now listen to me, children. A candlestick is a church. Okay. You got that? Candlestick equals church. Candlestick equals assembly. And then, don't let some idiot tell you that the church isn't mentioned after 4, because it's very clear. It's right there in the hotbed of chapter 11. We've still got 2 churches operating here. And God is using them in conjunction with the 2 witnesses. What are they doing? Well, it's written over and over and over. The main point I want to make on you is that if you're a part of that assembly, I would think you'd be very concerned about this. I would think you would be, you know, wanting to say, well, hey, this thing, you talk about something sensational, to be able to just really document that God expects us to be active, then maybe we would know why He blesses us so much. Would you believe He's going to use us? That's why He's got a purpose. And you know what it is. A child, if you don't know, have your child explain Mark chapter 13 to you someday. You know, when it's raining or something. What the prime purpose is of a good Christian that belongs to one of those 2 assemblies that's going to stand against the synagogue of Satan that these 2 particular churches stood against. These are the 2 churches, the 2 candlesticks that made it. It isn't even up for grabs which 2 churches that is. And the main reason I wanted you to know that Christ snuffs out candlesticks, He snuffed out those 5. They don't exist. But I'm going to tell you something. Part of the people in them do. And guess what they did? They joined the 2. And they're still around. Christ gave them that privilege. You go back and read the letter over when you find what was wrong with each one of them. And he warned, he gave each one of them an equal chance. Get your act together. Go back to my word and understand it. And many will join those and are, even to this day, scads of people. And I mean, just stop and think. God has blessed us right now. I don't even know for sure. Somewhere over 325 television stations in this hemisphere. Can you believe that? A little church that started out with 120 members in Arkansas. What has Arkansas got that somebody else doesn't? Nothing. We got God, and you do too. The difference is, do we obey Him? And does He use us? So, you know, there are many things happening, my friends. And don't ever let some man tell you that the churches aren't mentioned after chapter 4. Because they just would be unlearned in God's Word. You can see that, can't you? I want to see some heads nod. All of you can see that. There are two candlesticks. Well, is that a church? Come on. Yes. He said, itty bitty candlestick is itty bitty church, little bitty person. Okay? So, you know, don't argue with God's word. It says it, that settles it. All right? So, verse 4. Did I get that? Yeah. That's where we got to. That's where I want to quit. In Revelation, but that's not where we're going to quit tomorrow. We're going to come back for some more food. But we're going to quit there now because there's another time that he told somebody to do some measuring. And it's on the same subject. And I think that to complete what we have started here, that maybe we should go check on it. Y'all want to? Want to tonight? Okay, you sleep better if we do that tonight? Oh, well, let's do it. I bet I could say, how many of you know where I'm going? And I bet hands would go up all over the place. You got it right, Zechariah. Let's go there, chapter 3. I fooled you, didn't I? Right book, different chapter. Y'all help me. Zechariah is in the Minor Prophets, isn't it? Right near the end. It's next to the last book in the Old Testament, isn't it? Thank you. As a matter of fact, I don't want chapter 3. I want chapter 2. Okay? And everybody's got a right to make a mistake occasionally, right? Otherwise, you would get the big head, right? All right. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 1. I lifted up mine eyes again, looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Here we go again, doing this measuring thing. Then I said, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem. You see, beloved, why we had that lecture this morning? Don't listen to some crackpot that wants to tell you prophecy concerning the end time. You need to look at the beast somewhere in Belgium or somewhere. It's not biblical. You're going to go to sleep at the switch and on watch if you don't watch the place you're supposed to. Jerusalem. To see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, just having a regular old time meeting here, and said unto him, run! Speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Don't try to measure some little wall. Run those lines on out there. Nobody knows just how big it's going to be looking forward to what we do in the millennium. You think we can cut it in the millennium? Hey, we're going to make it hard on them, but we're going to rake them back from the fire and show them what discipline can really look like if God wants us to. We'll let him decide, all right? And we'll get a lot more done. Verse 5. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. You know, I want you to make a mental note. I've done this two or three times to you already in this session. Make a mental note of fire, okay? That wasn't used in the plagues of Egypt. This earth has never been destroyed by fire. So we're talking about something new when we see this. I want you to make a note of that and be aware of it, all right? You'll move right along if you do. And will be the glory in the midst of her. Oh, the glory of our Father in the midst. What does that mean? He's there. So that gives you a time sequence. Ho, ho, or get up, get up. Come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord. For I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, and dwellest with the daughters of Babylon. Do you know what Babylon is? It's confusion. Don't dwell in a lampstick, a candelabra, that is confusion. Or you're wasting your time. Unless God has, you know, I've known of cases where God specifically sends someone. No, there's a purpose. Someone there that needs a witness, not a troublemaker. But beware. Check out the light. See if it be true or not. And don't hanky with false doctrine. I mean, if somebody gives you some list of stuff, say, document it. Oh, document it. Where? In God and from God's Word. All right? I mean, you keep it straight and narrow, or your old boat's getting pretty close to the end of the push here. And you don't want it listing too much to one side or the other. It could sink. Come out of confusion. Well, how do I come out of confusion? With truth. It's that simple. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me into the nations which spoiled the dew. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Do you know what the apple of your eye is? It's the pupil. God says, anybody that hankies with one of my kids, it's like they stuck their finger in my eye. Now, let me ask you a question. He uses a pretty good analogy there. If somebody sticks their finger in the pupil of your eye, does it get your attention? I think so. Well, if someone picks on you, it gets Almighty God's attention. So don't be one of these poor me babies. Hey, God, just let them pick on me. He knows what's going on. He just figures you can cut it. He figures you know what to do with the bad boys. That you may be a little dog, but you can hunt with the big dogs too. Okay? He knows you can cut it. And so it goes, friends. I'm going to tell you what. God expects his own to have one thing. It's called faith. To believe and to know that he does know about you. But there's so many people in the world. He should know. He created them. Every soul. And you know what? He loved every one of them, or he wouldn't have made it. There might have been one or two back in the middle that he had the old wheel spinning and said, holy moly. I want to start over. I don't know about that. I really don't know about that. We may be getting into traditions a little bit there. We leave that up to the Father. Anyway, you're here and he made you, and that's good enough for me. If it's good enough for him. So see that you stay with him. And follow the candlestick. Learn what it is the candlestick is supposed to do. Well, what's it, brother? What is it a candlestick is supposed to do? You're teasing me. You don't know what a candlestick is supposed to do. What do you keep it for? Well, we keep it in our house in case the electricity goes off to give light. Well, you're getting right. That's just about right. You know, a candlestick, an assembly, should put out a light. Where it kind of shows people that are lost in the darkness so they don't fall and find their way. What with? Truth. That makes sense? God's word always makes sense, all right? Now, yeah, when somebody bothers your operation, that means your seed planting or whatever, if they jab you, they just jab God in the eye. If you ever get a gnat in your eye or a mosquito, what do you do with it? Oh, you swat it, right? What do you think God's going to do with them? Come on. We're made in His image. He's got the same reflexes. Naturally, if you stick your finger in His eye, it's going to be quick, friend. Quick response. Okay, verse 9. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them. Oh, I would never want that. If God angry at you and shaking His hand on them, woo, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and you shall know that I, the Lord of hosts, have sent. You will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. He's going to. It's going to be precious. Boy, we'll be full of questions, won't we? But when you're in that spiritual body, you don't have that many questions. I'll just say that and pass on. Verse 11, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord, because you'll already know, okay? He only calls things to our memory. It's in the memory. You think that's biblical? It is. St. John chapter 14, Jesus says, I call these things to your memory. Okay? It's there. And I don't want to go into where, how did it get there? Well, you know from before. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me into thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. That's what it centers on, friend. Again, don't be so foolish as to let someone pull you off by geographical locations. It is settled, okay? Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy mountain. That means he's ready for the day of vengeance. And I think if we knew how close it was, I don't think you really want to know. Well, I like to guess. Well, that's all right. You go ahead and guess. I'm not going to with you. Let's just be ready when it happens, all right? You got plenty to do. You're one of the candlesticks. You got plenty to do without worrying about Mo over somewhere else or something, all right? It's all right to pray for your friends and so forth. I have to be careful saying things like that because so many people hear things different than maybe some Irishman trying to be humorous. All right. Stick focused to God's word. Stay with it and you'll never be embarrassed. He continues on in that third chapter and he promises us the branch, which is Messiah, in verse 8. And in verse 9 of chapter 3, he tells us about this stone that has seven sets of eyes. And of course, that seven is spiritual completeness. It's God's elect in the stone. What is that stone? Well, it's symbolic of a church. Is that a candlestick? Yep. That's what it is. Do you think those eyes close? No, they always watch. Okay. What? Spiritually alert. Chapter 4, verse 1, and the angel that talked with me again came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I've looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. Why? Now, Revelation, we were told to measure. And we got two candlesticks. But in Zechariah, you're looking a little further. And I have to ask you, and I don't want it to sound like I'm talking down, but to a real Christian, now be honest with me, to a real Christian, how many churches are there? Only one. Only one candlestick. that some of the lights moved into that one. Well, who is that one? Come on, it's Christ, of course. Because you're either in Him or you're out. You're snuffed out. The old candle snuffer has already hit your wick and you are out of business. So don't be, what I'm saying, don't be concerned that here only one is listed with seven lamps. Because it's one lampstand in Christ. That's the way it always will be, okay? Even if there were seven churches, where should they all have been? In Christ. That was his complaint. You get your act together, I'm going to come quickly and I'm going to snuff your lampstand out. You're out of business. He is capable of doing that, and we know from the great book of Revelation, he did it to five of them. I mean, he didn't mess with them. Do you know something? He's not the type that does mess around when he gives you enough warnings. He expects you to take heed. Okay, let's continue on here. Got seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top there, verse 3. And the two olive trees. Well, here's those two witnesses again, all right? All of our people. By it. One upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and I spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? What in the world is that? Verse 5. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? You should, he's saying here. And I said, no, my Lord. 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Do you know what Zerubbabel means in the Hebrew tongue? You need to, beloved. It means born at Babel. But he didn't stay that way. Neither should you. Okay. You might have been born in confusion, but don't stay that way. Say, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. All right? And that's just the power of my left tonsil again. No problem to be concerned. We're going to make it fine. Okay? Maybe I should have it checked tomorrow. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? I mean, there's opposition. What did Jesus tell you if you had the faith of the mustard seed you could do to a mountain? You can mow that. Right? So, before Zerubbabel, that shall become a plain. Why? Somebody's going to have some faith. And it's gone. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Do you know what the headstone is? It's the head of the church. I mean, the chief light. Chief candle stand. Verse 8. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, 9. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. In other words, what he started, he's going to finish. How's he going to do that? Verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? Don't think small, beloved. Your Father owns everything. Your Father controls everything. What does he trust you with? Well, I don't know. For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Well, what's this he's got? A plummet. It's a plumb bob, all right? Zerubbabel, with those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. They're working down there. God's 7,000 elect. The two churches for Revelation. They're working at it. They're doing what they're supposed to do in that final generation when the seals and the trumps and the vials begin to sound. And they are. They keep busy focusing, disciplining themselves upon the Word of God. Then answered I, and I said unto him, why are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof? And of course, as you know, as he said earlier, the oil, don't be like the ten virgins, all right? The oil in this case ran not by man, not by gravity, not by some pump, but by the Holy Spirit, all right? God's in control. Don't ever forget that. And I answered again, and I said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? They're feeding those, really the two churches, if you want to know the truth about it, those that have assembled themselves. You know, it's pretty nice. I want to say this, and some television people might think I'm bragging in saying it, but it is so nice to have God control the oil instead of having to beg. You know, it's a blessing. It's really a blessing. I don't say that as a brag. I say it to document to you that you can trust your Father. He's in charge. He knows what He's doing. And He's guiding you gently, truly, and on course, whereby we can accomplish those things that are written. That is to say, not necessarily we accomplish, but let's don't fight against Him. Let's help Him. You know, what happened on the night Christ was crucified? They ran. You're not going to. You've got work to do. Do you know how I can double declare that? It declared it back in the book of Revelation. He said, they're cutting it. Those two are getting it done. I count on the two witnesses, he said, in those two churches. They're going to get it done. You don't have to worry about it. If you have faith, you know he's in control. Verse 13, and he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones, the Hebrew is sons of oil. Not necessarily any gender there that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And of course, the two witnesses mentioned in the book of Revelation. We could probably spend the rest of the night talking about who those two witnesses would be, and we would know less probably after we talked all night than we do now. Because when things are in God's hands, sometimes it's best to leave them there. You know, if He wants us to know something, He'll tell us. If you'll dig it out of His Word, it's there. It's like you're going to have people that are going to tell you, as we learned earlier, and I'm just recapping now. Don't think I'm repeating. I'm recapping for a purpose. Some of this we're picking up tomorrow, and I don't want you to sleep on it and forget it. You won't, will you? Oh, good, good. But some people would tell you the churches aren't mentioned after the fourth chapter. Now, you all know that's a common practice. A lot of churches will tell you that. Well, you know that's ignorance, and I'm not calling them names or anything. I'm a realist, all right? I like to stick to facts. Anybody that says that is just ignorant about God's Word. Because God makes it very clear to us that we are there. And I say we because I know we're the group, one of the groups, that teaches who the children are, the synagogue of Satan. If the church doesn't teach that, hey. And I know any way you want to slice it, anywhere around the world or all the world, there's only one church. Well, what's its name? Well, it's an assembly of those that love the truth and that have faith in Christ to trust and believe Him. And it doesn't have a name over the door. We could call it faith. We could call it those that favor, that the favors in Christ. You know, because He is the church. And that's why many people say, Pastor, I'm ready to join the Shepherd's Chapel. What do I do? I said, well, you got to take that up with the Lord. He's the head dog here. He's the head man, I'm sorry. Getting late. been a long day. I baptized a lot of people. I'm getting her done here, all right? I'm going to quit pretty quick. But anyway, our Father loves those that love Him that He can count on. You know, I'm sure it's very easy to disappoint Him when He sends a letter that is so simple a child can understand it. And you have, big candlesticks. I'm not talking little groups here and there. I'm talking big name so-called assemblies. They're just not teaching right. And I don't judge them. I'm not a judge. But I am well enough advised by Him and His Word to know I don't want any part of anything that isn't pleasing to God. That's just not right. Why? You're not going to get His blessings. And beloved, if we do it His way, don't think little. We're in big times. We're in the trumps and the vials and the seals that are moving on toward the end. Are you ready for it? Well, how do you get yourself ready? Well, you educate yourself in the Father's Word. He tells you all about it. And He tells it where a child can understand. You know, you'd be surprised how many letters I get from people that say, I wish you'd quit saying that. I've read that a dozen times and I don't understand it. And then you come along and say a kid can. It's one of those things, I guess, that if you have eyes to see, you have eyes to see, and if you don't, you don't. So, yes, the two churches are mentioned. Five are snuffed out. I think that should go as a warning, dear one, that Christ meant it when He said, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, traditions of men. When you meet in large groups, you better be careful who you're keeping company with. When the fragments of doctrine, all right? Why do you need another doctrine when you've got the Word of God? You know, isn't that good enough? I hope it is, because I know where you're going if it isn't. It's real pretty well set and sealed. It's snuff out time. All right? So, I hope you've enjoyed this, because... Thank you. My whole point is to show you you have a part, because you're a part of that assembly that teaches who the Kenites are. And that is so obvious, so blatantly true that you couldn't miss it. And this lecture and the one that's coming tomorrow, basically, is to teach you more about your part in it, what it is He would have you do. And I hope that you gain much assurance from that and comfort that, hey, if they mess with me, it's just like they stuck their finger in God's eye, and boy, is His hand going to frail them.
Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's Word? Certainly one way to go there is to study.